Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we do ask you to help us, Lord, to give our time and attention as much as possible this morning to your word. May, Father, it find lodging in our heart. May it challenge each and every one of us. May it change us. And Lord, from that change, would you receive honor and glory? We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm in a series, been going through the book of Proverbs, both in our church and here on my broadcast time weekly, through the book of Proverbs, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. Now, obviously, the book of Proverbs is not the only book in the Bible that has principles that we need to apply to our life. But it is a book that I have decided to concentrate on. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I try to read it once a month, whatever day of the month it is. That's the chapter I read. I've been doing that for many, many years now. And I like it. I find great encouragement from it, a great challenge. But I want to just briefly, before I get started this morning, I want to prep your mind and your thought process with me. You know, we live in a day and age where very few people seemingly live by principles. It seems like the majority of society is always responding to something or reacting to something. And whatever the emotions are of the moment, that's what the demeanor is of the person. And sometimes you and I do the same thing, and we are all human, and we're all subject to making the same type of mistakes. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And so we're all familiar with this. We all have failed at this. But one of the reasons I'd like to concentrate and am concentrating on this idea of biblical principles is to get us to understand and sort of encourage us, and I hope challenge us as well, to think about lines of principles. God has principles for us to live by. You know, the Bible doesn't address every ill issue of society. The Bible doesn't talk about the internet and the dangers of the internet. The Bible doesn't talk about, you know, the smoking. The Bible doesn't talk about a number of things that are now prevalent in society, but there are principles that can be applied that would give us understanding and guidelines in our life to how we should conduct ourselves. Sometimes you come across somebody and you're out soul winning, and they'll say, yeah, but the Bible doesn't say anything about, and then they'll list whatever it is they're trying to justify in their life. And it's such a weak argument. And unfortunately, many Christians don't have an answer because they've not prepared themselves. You know, God has principles for us to live by, and God expects us and demands us that we do this. And so we're looking for biblical principles, and these principles can be applied across the board in any day of life, and they ought to be applied every day of life. And that's the idea. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God has a method, a plan for us to live, and they're biblical principles. And may God help us to incorporate these principles as we're going through. I'm not picking and choosing. I'm going down verse by verse, and the ones that I've identified as a principle that I'd like us to consider, I'm doing so. We go to the next verse or whatever the next principle is that I've identified, and then we go with it. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, focus in on any certain area. It is as it comes out of the book of Proverbs, we're dealing with these things. And so this morning, let's go to Proverbs 17, verse 22. There's a principle there that's very familiar to many of us, I'm sure. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, some would say, well, where's the principle? Well, the principle would be simple. This: a merry heart is the idea of God wants us to have a merry heart. It doesn't necessarily tell us how here, but it tells us the benefits of a merry heart. And so the wise among us would say, well, because it is such a positive thing for me to have and such a negative thing to have if I have something less than a merry heart, well, I'd be well advised to go find out what I need to do in order to get this merry heart. The word merry has the idea of being glad or joyful. So he that has a glad heart, a joyful heart, a rejoicing heart. The Bible says it's like a medicine. It's good for you. We think of medicines, and medicines help us when we're sick, and or they help prevent things. So that's a good thing. And so would it not be seen and understood that having a glad heart, a joyful heart, a rejoicing heart would be a good thing, but a broken spirit drieth the bones? if you would. It sort of has a negative connotation there. It just sort of wears you out. It's sort of almost like death, if you would. And certainly sometimes a broken spirit or a heavy-hearted person is almost, as many of them would say, living a life of death. We see in the book of Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. Somebody's got a heavy burden. Maybe they've brought it on themselves, maybe they haven't. It doesn't say and it doesn't indicate why the heaviness is there, and it really doesn't matter, but the impact of it, it makes the heart stoop. It sort of weighs down on a person. It's hard on a person. It's not healthy for a person. But the Bible says a good word can make it glad. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And then in chapter 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Think about that phrase, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Well, if you have the proper spirit, if you have it and it's healthy and it's prepared and ready, it can sustain you. But if it's a wounded spirit, it's not going to do you what that good spirit can. Someone said this, a merry heart doeth good to the body, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Nothing has such a direct tendency to ruin health and waste out of life as anxiety or grief, fretfulness, bad tempers and such. All of these things have a tendency to ruin our health. Stress, we know that stress is often a great contributor to bad health, and it often brings, I think, people to an early death. A lot of stress. People are under a lot of stress these days, and they have very little joy sometimes. You know, many are of the mindset that joy and happiness are things that happen to those who are lucky in life, almost like the lottery of life. Well, you're lucky. Yeah, sure, I could be happy too if I had all that money, if I had that good job, or if I had all those circumstances. Yeah, sure, it's easy for you to be happy, someone says. But no, happiness and true having a merry heart has nothing to do with your external circumstances. Now, granted, they make it more fun sometimes, but there are a lot of people who do not have a lot of external reasons to be happy, but they are full of joy. Why is that? Their absence of the things that many people would think are required to make one happy, and yet they are happy. And there are many who have almost an endless array of things on the outside, all the wonderful things that people gather together and heap upon themselves, and they're miserable. They're miserable. The suicide rate among the rich and the famous is quite high sometimes, and it's you have to ask, why is it you've got everything at your disposal and yet you're miserable? And there are those who have almost seemingly nothing, and yet they are people with great happiness and great joy. Happiness is a mindset of a proper attitude, not the joy of being lucky. Some people spend their lives waiting for someone to come along and make them happy, while others go out and secure happiness with purpose and with a proper attitude. You know, your attitude's your future. It really is. Your attitude is your future. If you got a bad attitude, you got a bad future. If you got a frightful or a fearful attitude, you've got a fearful future. In other words, your attitude is your future. What's your attitude this morning? What's my attitude? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I would encourage all of us that are listening, let's not allow ourselves to get into this habit of waiting for some new thing to come in our way or some new joy to happen before we're happy. You know, go ahead and be happy now on purpose. Decide right now you're going to be happy because it's the right thing. Don't look for external stimulus to come along and sort of buffer you and give you all these nice things. And you say, oh, boy, now I'm happy. Listen, you can be happy today and not have anything in the bank account. You can be happy today and not have the greatest health. You can be happy today and have no external reason to be happy, but you can have happiness because you've had the proper attitude and you've decided to think right. And may God help us to be a people of a merry heart. It does do good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Your health often is dependent upon your attitude, whether you're merry, helpful, or a joyful, glad, or are you just full of misery. make God. And if you are sad today, if you're full of misery today, I would encourage you to challenge yourself. You don't have to be that way. And you don't have to have anything special happen to you. Your attitude is your future. And may God help you to get victory in this area. May God strengthen you. May God show you that you can have a merry heart. And God will help you, but you got to let him help you. And may God do so. Let's drop down to verse number 25. It's the next principle that I've identified that I'd like to just spend a few moments on this morning. The Bible says a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Now, some would say, well, wait a minute, where's the principle in that? That's seemingly just pretty much a statement. But there is a hidden principle here that I'd like for us to consider this morning. A foolish son is a grief to his father. You know, living a fool's life is not only bad for the person who's living it, and it certainly is, but it is often as bad, if not even sometimes worse, for the parents of that person. You know, many parents spend their last years of their life in utter grief because of a wayward son or a wayward daughter or granddaughter or grandson. You know, you and I that are listening today, if our parents are still living, we ought to set our affection, set our mind on, you know what, I will not be that kind of son or daughter to my mom and dad. I'm not going to be the one that brings grief upon my parents because of the life that I'm living. I'm going to live a life that would please them. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's good. I'm going to do what's profitable. And with God's help, I'm going to cause my mother and my father to find great joy that I am their child. I'm 52 years old. My dad just turned 83. My mother turned 84. Both of them actually have the same day for a birthday, February the 8th, but my mother's a year older. And so it's really easy for me to remember their birthday. All I got to do is remember one, and I got both of them. But they're both living. And so I'm fortunate. I'm 52. They're 84 and 83. You know, until this right now today, as I'm making this broadcast, a few days ahead of the time that it will actually be broadcast, at this very moment, you know, I still to this day live with a strong, almost insatiable desire to make my mom and dad proud of me. I don't live in their home, but I visit them, and I have my lifestyle is a little different from my mom's and dad's, you know, and so, but you know what? I want to make mom and dad proud of me. I don't want to be a burden and grief to them. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. In my Bible, that phrase, a wise son maketh a glad father, I've made a little note there in my Bible that I want to be that kind of son for my father and for my mother as well. In Proverbs 15:20, the Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are as continual dropping. But notice that phrase, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. That calamity word means ruin. A foolish son is the ruin of his father. A ruin. A prime example of this would be Absalom. David had great grief because of Absalom. What he did, he'd gone out and caused a lot of grief. And when after he died, David cried, Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee. How grief was brought upon David's heart because of the life choices that Absalom made. You know, if you're fortunate enough to have your mom and dad still living today, I hope you're fortunate enough to have the desire in your heart. You know what? I'm going to make my mom and my dad glad. I want to make my mom and dad proud. I want to give my mom and dad a reason to be glad that I'm a part of their family and not to be a grief, not to be a sorrow to them. And, you know, the principle would simply be this. Take and realize the life that you live, it doesn't just affect you, but it tremendously affects your parents. It affects a lot of people, obviously, but this particular case here from the scriptures is talking about the parents, if you would, the mother and the father and her that bear him. You know, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to my parents. You have a responsibility to yours. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be a teenager, a young person, or you're going to be an adult. You know, I'm 52. You could be a little younger or older than me. And if your parents are still living, then you ought to do that. And by the way, even if they're not living, live such a way as if they were living, they would be proud of you. May God help us to do this. I think we'll be better off trying to live a way that would please moms and dads than just living a selfish way. You know, there's some just good old-fashioned horse sense in this verse here, if you would. It just makes sense to live to please our mothers and our fathers. I think it honors the Lord. It honors our parents. And I think it brings great blessings upon us for striving to do that. Well, these are two principles that we looked at this morning. I do challenge you to take both of them under consideration. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Work to have a merry heart. A foolish son is a grief to his father. Live to please your mother and your father. And may God help us to incorporate these two principles in our lives today. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.